KUER News in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. On Monday, representatives for a group of snowboarders were in federal court trying to convince a judge not to dismiss their lawsuit. They're suing Alta Ski Resort for banning snowboards. They say it's a form of discrimination. Today in the program, we're talking about the issue, which may be less about the practical arguments, like this is a business decision for Alta or a question of safety, but something else. For many of those who hate the idea of snowboarders at Alta, it's hard to pin down their resistance. They talk about tradition or history or the idea that snowboarders are a different kind of people in some way. We'll discuss this as a cultural issue, as a generational issue, an economic one, and we're hoping to hear from you after the news. Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. On Monday, representatives for Alta Ski Resort were in federal court asking a judge to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a group of snowboarders. This is a squabble that's been going on for a long time. Alta is only one of three resorts in the country that doesn't allow snowboarding, but it's the only one of those that operates on public land, and that's the legal opening the snowboarding group is using. They say the resort is discriminating against a group of people. They're even using the elevated language of the 14th Amendment in the Constitution to make the case. Really, it comes down to this question. What's the reason for keeping snowboards off the mountain at Alta? The resort, of course, has practical reasons. They say it's a business decision and an issue of safety. But skiers at Alta also say this is about tradition and culture, too. As one Alta skier put it, it's how it's always been and always will be. Actually, it wasn't always this way at Alta, but point taken. We'd like to hear from you today. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. If you ski at Alta, what's your reason for keeping snowboards off the mountain? Is it an outdated idea, do you think? If so, why? Is there a significant difference between skiers and snowboarders these days? 801-585-WEST, again, the number to join the conversation. Derek Taylor is joining us throughout the hour. He is a senior correspondent for Powder Magazine and a former editor there. He's also a regular contributor to Grind TV. And Derek Taylor, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Josh Sherman is also with us. He's an artist here in Salt Lake City. He's also on the board of the Ski Archives Project at the Marriott Library here at the University of Utah. For 10 years, he served as the snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah. And Josh Sherman, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess I wanted to begin really broadly, and we'll sort of break this down as we go along, I'm hoping. But Josh, let me start with you, I guess. What's the heart of this issue, do you think, for you? What's it like if you were to distill it down? Do you think it's about one particular thing?
I think it's just about getting on the mountain. I grew up here in Utah, and you're very close to the Wasatch Front, which has seven great resorts in it. You can get to a resort within an hour, and there's one you can't go to or two within an hour if you're a snowboarder. So just a lot of access to terrain that I'd love to ride. And I think a lot of snowboarders would like to try it out. And I think that's the biggest hang up is you can't go there if you're snowboarding.
Yeah. It's just the fact they can't get to it.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Derek, how do you see it? What's the sort of the big issue here that's underlying it all, if there is one?
I think, you know, big issue underlying it all, I think it's mostly a generational thing, to be frank. I was born in the 70s and I've never known a time when there weren't snowboards on the mountain. And I have no problem with it. And to be frank, there's a lot of my friends, you know, prominent people in the ski industry that find this, you know, find the fact that there are three places that don't allow snowboarding as a point of embarrassment for us. In this day and age, that there are places that would pit us and what we like to do against another activity that a lot of us also like to do and that a lot of our friends like to do. I think a lot of it's just coming from an outdated mentality of, you know, that for somehow the two don't get along when, you know, 400 and something resorts across the country kind of say differently.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. John is joining us, calling from Lopez Island in Washington. John, welcome.
Hi. I've been a season pass holder in Little Cottonwood Canyon and involved with the ski industry for this will be my 41st consecutive season. And the banning on the snowboarding has really gotten into an emotional level here with people pointing fingers over, you know, the skiers don't like the snowboarders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and back and forth it goes. And the real argument, in my opinion, should be centered on the fragile winter sports recreation industry nationally and the heavy competition for dollars to get destination people to come to a place to ski or snowboard. And what we're finding here in many instances is that you're now getting the new people who are starting out in the winter recreation sports area who go to resorts are on snowboards, the kids, quite a few of them. And this has resulted in something that's happened in my family for years, and that is a mixed skier-snowboarder family. Now, you're not going to be able to host those people over at Alta, and Alta adherents can say, oh, well, and by the way, I had been an Alta pass holder for more than three consecutive decades, but I'm not any longer. The reason that people over at Alta are saying, oh, well, listen, it doesn't hurt us because we got plenty of skiers that come over here and we're going to be fine financially. And, in my opinion, that is about as short-sighted as you can get. It's not really whether or not Alta's making out okay by doing this. It's what Alta is doing to the remainder of the winter sports recreation industry in the state of Utah. In other words, how many families will divert to Colorado as opposed to coming here because there's a ban at Deer Valley and at Alta for snowboarders if you've got a mixed family when you can go to any other part of the United States of America and you can have your family with you on the same slope.
Yeah.
Same thing holds true in business situations. Last year, I had a group of people I do work with who came out from New York, and they were a mixed group of skiers and snowboarders. And, some of those people wanted to go over to Alta, and we had to split the group up.
Yeah.
And,
John, hold on.
And so on it goes from there. And then word gets out about this, and then I'll just put this in on top of that. Right at the height of this is getting national publicity, this lawsuit, and the silly arguments Alta's making about safety, about how you have a blind spot because of the way your feet are on the board is just childish. The other issue is we've got Park City Resort fighting now over whether or not it's going to be open between Powder Corp and Vail, and that's making national headlines. No. And all of this is going on, as your guests well know, Doug, right at the precise time of the year when people who are planning winter ski vacations are trying to figure out where they're going to go.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear the economic conversation brought up in this, and I'll be happy to listen.
Okay, John, glad you called. Thanks very much. Well, there's a lot there, but to his bigger point, because we're going to break down some of this other stuff, sort of the economic question. But does he have a point that this could potentially, or has it? I guess this has been going on for a long time. Is it hurting Utah's ski industry, Derek Taylor?
The industry in general, possibly, for the reasons he just said. We are in a really unique situation with these three resorts in that they are three of the very few resorts in the world, really, that can afford to alienate 30% of their potential clientele. Deer Valley is not hurting right now. Alta is not hurting right now. And Mad River Glen has their own little niche going. They can afford to say, hey, you know what, 30% of you, we don't even want you here. The rest of the resorts can't really afford to do that, and that's why you've seen snowboarding being allowed at all these other places like Taos and Park City and Aspen are all fairly recent
converts.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Dash, what do you think about that bigger question that this may have a negative impact? Stop thinking just about yourself, Alta, and think about the bigger industry.
Yeah, being involved with Ski Utah for 10 years, our biggest competition was Colorado, and it continues to be Colorado. Their numbers are three times ours. They have mega resorts, and we just don't have the capacity right now to host that many people. So each individual resort is trying collectively to get more tourists here, which makes up the majority of our skiers per year. And that is an appeal to the skiers, but it's not an appeal. It's a detractant to all the snowboarders that come to the state as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's a mixed family or whether just a group of college kids that wants to come out, they know that it exists and it's part of the ski and snowboard culture.
John, thanks for the call. 801-585-WEST, again, the number to join us. Kendra is with us in Spanish Fork. Kendra, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So my family's been Alta skiers for a long time, and I'm not going to lie, there are some really snobby Alta skiers out there who are just feel like, oh, well, this is just the way it's got to be. But and the court uses that as an excuse. They will look at all these snobby, discriminatory people, but I don't think that Alta should need to defend or rebut the policy in order to have it protected by the court. Safety, culture, or whatever, if they're allowed as a private company to operate on public lands already, then they should be able to have whatever kind of policy they want for whatever reason they want it. We could keep going with this argument. We say, what about the rights of snowshoers, or what about the rights of dog sledders, or what about the rights of ice sculptors? Just because a group of people happen to share certain preference and activities and may share certain other characteristics as a result of that doesn't mean they have a right to be defined as a protected group under the Constitution. In other words, just using the language of, oh, these are snowboarders, or these are skiers, or this is a mixed family, I think just using that language is deceiving. Like, it's just an activity that people choose to participate in, and whether people choose to defend them, to define themselves as, well, that is my identity as a person, doesn't mean that we as a society have to support that as a constitutional protection.
Derek Taylor, what do you think? But one of the arguments that Alta has made is that this could set a dangerous precedent, that if snowboarders win the argument, there could be a lot of lawsuits for people who want access to federal public lands, not just snowshoers, as Kendra mentioned, but, you know, ATV people who want to go into public land, those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, mountain bike only trails, hiking only trails. And, you know, to be clear, I think Alta, Deer Valley, and Mad River Glen should all allow snowboarding and just put this debate to an end. However, I think the lawsuit is a little misguided, even a little bit offensive, considering what's going on in Ferguson right now and what's going on in northern Iraq, people that are dealing with real discrimination. The truth is, at Alta, there's no single individual that's not allowed there. You can rent skis for $25 a day. If you show up after three, you can ride the Albion Basin lift for free. It's really, aside from the snowboard restrictions, it's really one of the most inclusive places in the world. And that's why it's frustrating. I wish they would get rid of the ban so that I could just tell people that this is the best place in the world to go.
But what they're doing, this seems to bother you, as you just were saying, that using the language from the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, mm-hmm. something that was established in the ALTA itself has sort of pointed out that, look, this was a clause that was designed to protect former slaves during Reconstruction. And what you're saying is, with all that's going on around the planet, not to be able to take your $800 toy, as you've mm-hmm. told us, under these $1 million lifts is – this is a first world problem. This is maybe not exactly the right language to be using.
It's not even a first world problem. It's an upper middle class first world problem. You know, we're not – a first world problem is what's going on in Ferguson. That is a first world. And that is a person – you know, Mike Brown can't go spend $25 and rent a different color skin. Trayvon Martin can rent a different color skin. You know, what's going on with the gay community trying to get equal access to marriage rights is – those are much bigger issues that our courts should be focusing on, not whether – you know, not because really we're not fighting about a group of people. We're fighting about the use of a certain piece of equipment. I have a lot of friends that are predominantly snowboarders that are frankly way better skiers than I am.
Josh, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think the biggest misuse of the language right now is that snowboarders are technically ski equipment. And so it's not – it doesn't have to do with snowshoeing or ice sculpting, as the caller referred to it. The snowboard is considered a ski. Up there right now, you can snowblade at Alta. You can telemark at Alta. You can snowbike at Alta. The only difference is just one
you just can't go
ski.
You can't go sideways.
You can't go sideways.
Right.
And that's how you learn to ski. That's how I learned to ski. And I think even the split boards now, you can ride the lift of the split board, but as soon as you put it together at the top of the lift and go down, you're not allowed to do that. So I think that's there's no real difference once you put in that context. Once you have a split board apart and you put it back together, it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just together.
Yeah.
So it is defined as a ski, the snowboard.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Let me see. Rich is with us in Salt Lake. Rich, hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
So I'm one of those snobby elitist Alpha skiers who pre-hills it, and I've been riding Alpha for 40 years. Don't connect well with the younger snowboarding population. Have a few friends who board, and I'm 100% supportive of snowboarders at Alpha.
Really? I guess I wasn't expecting that last part. Why? You're not crazy about the snowboarding part, but you think it's what, a rights issue, or what do you think?
It's more than a rights issue. It's everyone should be able to be free to ride the mountain. I mean, the mountain doesn't care. It's such an incredible place that I think anyone who wants to ride should be allowed to.
Yeah.
It's more of a karma thing for me.
Yeah. Skiers are karma people, aren't they? I mean, they're...
Most of us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which gets us to this question of culture, and I wanted to get at that. Because this idea of how... that sort of Rich raises this obvious question of how snowboarders were perceived in the early days, or even in many ways how they're still perceived now. The lawsuit says that, you know, they used to be seen as immature and inexperienced and reckless. Derek and Joshua, Derek, you start. You said in the early days of the sport, it was kind of punk rock, you know? It was like there was this rebellious mentality. And but talk a little bit about that cultural part that irritates some, I guess.
It's, yeah, and I think there's some truth to that for sure. But to be honest, before that, hot dog skiing was punk rock. And then, you know, and then it turned into snowboarding. And there's always a younger generation that's going to flip a middle finger to authority. It's not the same sport it was in the 80s, quite frankly, because it's not the same equipment, you know. And a lot of, you know, what you're seeing now is a lot of the younger kids are actually going back to skiing. They're skiing backwards at high rates of speed, which takes away the whole safety issue that you're talking about with snowboarding. And it's really, you know, it's kind of evolved where it's gone full circle. You know, the guys that I looked up to as snowboarders, Sean Farmer, Sean Palmer, those guys are all in their 40s now, you know, and they have kids. And a lot of those kids are going back to skiing. So if we're going to make this like a, you know, well, those people are obnoxious issue, then we should ban obnoxious people. But, you know, to the point, like there's, as soon as you put a snowboard on and you act like a jerk, the reaction is, oh, those effing snowboarders. If you have skis on your feet and you act like a jerk, it's, oh, that effing jerk. So there is definitely a little bit of a stigma that comes with using that one piece of equipment.
Josh, what do you think? Have you've seen that sensibility, I guess, probably, have you?
Yeah, I think the major difference is skiing has always had a tradition. There's always been ski jumping, ski racing, and that's been the epitome of skiing culture. Snowboarding didn't have a history. There's nothing to tell them what to do, how to do it. And so they made it up as they went. And I think having a skateboard background, like most snowboarders did, and a surfing background before that, where the culture came from, there's just no rules. There was no structured environment for them to grow up in. Mm-hmm. So they made it up. And I think that's what rubbed people wrong the whole way, is there was no figure eight turns. There was no racing. It was just top to bottom, Chinese downhill, every day, all day long. And I think that's what really got to people.
It's interesting. One of the things you pointed out to us earlier was that skiing began in some ways as a kind of practical thing. It was, you know, this is how you got from one place to another. And then it turned into a fun sport. People had fun with it. But it started, as you said, with this kind of practical tradition. But snowboarding was never a way of traveling. It was always just a fun thing. It was always just surfing down the mountain. And that, I guess people see that as the difference. As you said, lack of a deeper tradition there.
Yeah, Nordic people have been skiing for thousands of years, they predict. And so it was basically used for distance traveling in the snow. Alta miners, you know, when there was mining up there, they used skis to get around. So it's always been here as long as the necessity has been here. But snowboarding came from the desire to surf a mountain, and that's exactly what it is. It's incredibly fun.
801-585-WEST, again, the number to join us. Laurie is with us in Salt Lake City. Laurie, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So my comment is that if it's a financial issue for Alta to stay in business and keep the mountain in good shape, for all of us to enjoy, then I would be up for snowboarders. I have been one in the past to not appreciate snowboarders on the mountain at Snowbird because I've almost gotten clobbered a million times. I don't know which way they're going to turn. I don't understand how they ski, and they trench the mountain up in such a way that it makes it uncomfortable to ski down. You can't find a nice line. That the way they ski is quite a bit different. They take up much broader and deeper trenches, and it just kind of, in my mind, ruins the mountain. But if they kept them to a certain areas, then maybe that would work out. So that's my comment. It's probably not fair, you know, but maybe it's at least if everyone can share the mountain. I think at Snowbird there's certain areas where just people who like to go, you know, ski bumps go, and there's, you know, the borders stay in certain areas for the most part. Yeah. And I don't see why that would be a problem.
I think that's so funny that you laughed there at the end. Why you just feel weird about saying keep them in another, segregate them to another place?
Yeah, because it seems odd to say that. And,
it does.
I do want it to be fair, but the main thing, I would like our resorts to stay open. I've been skiing all my life, and I'm almost 60, and seeing the transition in the mountains and them coming and going, and, you know, Alta particularly is kind of a locals mountain. We are kind of protective of that here, and but I don't want it to go out of business, you know, and I don't know how, if it's another 30% of income, like you were saying in the beginning of the of what you were talking about, then that's a lot of money, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about some of the things you said. Thanks very much for the call. Let me get to a few of these things. First, we got a comment from Josh on our Facebook page who says, anyone who thinks the two activities don't make very different use of the mountain hasn't examined them carefully. Josh says they see the mountain differently. He's saying, you know, skiers and snowboarders, they turn differently. They stop in different places. They navigate flat spots differently. I mean, they're different. Laurie's just mentioning they ski differently. They, you know, they make the terrain of the snow different in the way they do it. What do you guys make of that as a difference?
First of all, I think the difference is one of the things that makes it fun to ride together. You know, skiing with a friend who snowboards, it opens up your eyes to different little spots on the hill that you might have skied right by your entire life. But to what Laurie said, I think everything that she said about how snowboarders treat the mountain differently, you could also break that up by ability level. Beginners ski the mountain differently than experts. And when you're coming down a groomer, you know, trying to predict what a new skier is going to do, it can be extremely difficult and extremely, you know, dangerous. So it's not necessarily just an equipment issue. It's an ability issue also. But
you could apply that to crappy skiers too, right?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I'm not putting that on snowboarders. I'm saying that, you know, even at Alta, you can run into dangerous situations where there is a skier traversing all the way across the slope and not really leaving you a space to ski by. And if you want to talk about a blind spot, skiers have the same blind spot. It's right behind them, and they can't necessarily see who's coming on either side. So it's, you know, we're all humans. We're all built the same way. We all have the same blind spots. It's just where you put it on a snowboard is different from skiers. And, you know, it's definitely a difference. But for me, the difference is part of what makes the two go together so well.
Mm. Josh, what do you think? I mean, this idea that it's just a different experience. It's fine if you want to snowboard, but I do it differently. So let me have one place in Utah, two places, I guess, to do it. What do you think?
I think, like Derek said, responsibility is responsibility. Everyone gets a ticket. It says the responsibility code, which is, you know, look downhill. Everyone downhill has the right.
There's a certain etiquette
in front of
it.
You.
Yeah.
And I think we do ride differently, skiers. I also ski too. I've learned to ski. But you go back and forth, you know, in an S pattern to control speed. Snowboarders can just go straight and turn sideways and stop. And so navigating around a slow skier, you still got to judge that. So it is hard to pass a skier on a cat track. And just like a beginning snowboarder, we'll do the falling leaf, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And so we both do the back and forth thing. We both can go straight. We both can go fast. We both can stop. And I think it's like Derek said, responsibility, the level that you feel comfortable with of riding and riding in your ability, I think sets the good from the bad.
Something from Carrie. Carrie writes, I used to think this was a manufactured conflict, but the quality of the slopes with snow that has been scraped to the bottom of the hill, primarily by snowboarders, really is different, she says. Having one or two places out of dozens that says, hey, we don't want the effect on the snow here seems fine. Shouldn't matter what imaginary qualities people project on each other. Is that true? Do they scrape it differently?
Sort of. But look at fat skis now on the surface area that you're scraping off snow with on those, and it's really about the same. And honestly, anyone who wants to say that skiers don't scrape the snow off, go by Piss Pass at Alta or go into High Boy, and you'll find the same rocks that you're going to find at Snowbird. We're doing a lot of the same things now on skis that we're complaining about snowboarders doing.
I want to get to this question that Lori raised also. And I think a lot of people, when they're talking about Alta, is that it's about tradition. It's about the history of the place. But we need to take a break. 801-585-WEST is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Derek Taylor with us here in the studio, senior correspondent for Powder Magazine, and Josh Sherman, Salt Lake City artist, the former snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, a conversation about winter sports on a summer day. We're wading into this dispute between snowboarders and skiers. A group of snowboarders is suing Alta Ski Resort over its longstanding ban of snowboards on the mountain there. We're talking about this story because it's more than just a legal one. It's also cultural, and it's about tradition. And we're inviting you to join us. Of course, 801-585-WEST is the number, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We have Derek Taylor with us, a senior correspondent for Powder Magazine, and Josh Sherman, Salt Lake City artist and the former snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah. Let's go back to the phones. Jeannie is with us in Salt Lake. Jeannie, hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I grew up in Utah, and I've been skiing Alta since the early 70s. I also used to be a ski instructor, mostly for kids, but also for adults on alpine and telemark skiing. And my comment is, I love the fact that Alta is for skiers only, and I think it's largely a safety issue. The different ways that snowboarders and skiers ski, the way that they move the snow around, and the fact that because Alta is on forest land, it's carved up differently. It's not groomed. There's a lot of chutes. There's a lot of really steep ravines, a lot of tree skiing, and people go there, and naturally the terrain gets carved out, and the way that the skiers, with more skiers, you'll end up having either mogul runs or chutes that would be very, very different if snowboarders were in it. So I think it's largely, it's not just a quality and enjoyment of the mountain, but it's also a safety issue if the snow is all brushed off some of these steep, rocky ravines. It would be an issue for anybody coming after.
Right. Forgive me. Sorry. We talked about the safety part, but she does raise another question, and then that is, the argument that you hear from time to time that she sort of referred to earlier, which was that it's not really that great. Alta is not really that great a mountain for snowboarding in the first place. I mean, you hear that argument that, it's not a lot of traverses, a lot of flat spots. You have to it just doesn't work so well or wouldn't work so well. What do you make of that? Because, Derek, you've said really that argument will solve itself. If it's not, then they won't come.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only reason, then sure, open it up and they'll have a bad experience and they won't come anymore.
Is it true, though, that it's not good? Can you imagine?
I don't think it's true. I'll put it that way. I think a good snowboarder would be able to handle the terrain the same way a good skier does at Alta, the traverses, everything else. If you want to talk about a mountain that's not that great for snowboarding, quite frankly, Brighton has a lot of traverses and sidesteps, and that's one of the best, most esteemed snowboard mountains in the world. So there's something for everyone at all resorts. And I think a lot of it, you know, my parents go to Alta. They don't ski the high tee. They're, you know, they're on their own spot. So they can't handle the traverses. They're on skis. So I think that it's not necessarily a valid argument.
Yeah. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I think the same applies. Brighton's my home mountain. I love Brighton because it has backcountry access and it has different levels of abilities. It doesn't have the steeps, but as a snowboarder, I look at the mountain as a way to play on the mountain. And if I want to get steep runs, I'll go to Snowbird. If I want to do, trams, I can go up to Snow Basin. There's a lot of area to go to. And it is true the riding of mountains is different, but the safety issue keeps getting brought up. So in the National Ski Areas Association report from 2012, said that skiers are three times as likely to get in a collision with others than
skiers
with snowboarders. Yes.
Wait, say that again. Skiers are three times more likely
to be involved in a collision with other people than snowboarders. And the collision statistic was only 6.4% of accidents on the mountain. So a very small percentage of people are actually hitting each other. And according to the NSAA, three times more likely a skier hits someone than a snowboarder.
Here's an email a Facebook comment. I'm not sure from who, but they say modern-day ski rippers use the mountain in the exact same way as snowboarders. Fat skis, mono skis, teleboards are no different. 12 degrees of separation, this person writes, from a teleboard to a snowboard. How is that different? Which I guess, Derek, was sort of the point you're making. If you look at the way the industry is changing now, in some ways you could say it's not that different.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. And I think that's why it's a point of frustration for a lot of my friends in the ski industry, you know, prominent skiers that we keep getting forced into this discussion of choosing places that we love versus an activity that we also love.
I should mention that was a comment that came from Wasatch Equality. That's the group who brought the suit against the Alta ski area. That's where that was coming from. 801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Back to the phones. Chris is with us in Cedar City. Chris, hi.
Hi, guys. I'm actually a certified PSIA ski instructor. I also teach snowboarding, and I would concur that you're right. It has nothing to do with the equipment you're on, but your ski level as to whether you tear up the terrain. Secondly, my comment, and this is where what I'd like to discuss, and I'll take my comment off air. But according to a lot of statistics, the ski industry and snowboard industry is dying about a percentage every year. And so to alienate 30% of the already dying industry seems folly to me as a business plan. I don't understand that. If I were them, I would be trying to convert, you know, snowboarders to skiers and skiers to snowboard. Makes much more sense to have somebody who can do both who won't get bored as easily. And thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. It's a good question, Derek. What do you think? I mean, does this make sense for you? As you mentioned earlier, Alta seems to be doing fine.
Yeah, it honestly, from a business perspective, it actually makes sense for Alta, Deer Valley, and Mad River Glen the way they're being run right now.
To not allow them.
They've created a niche for themselves. And, you know, I think, you know, the truth is I've never heard a disparaging comment towards snowboarding from anyone at Alta Management or anyone who works at Alta. It's mostly people that are visiting, and they're mostly people that are paying rack rate for their rooms and rack rate for their tickets, and they're the people that are keeping the mountain alive. So I think there's a real hesitance to change because they don't want to alienate that core clientele. So from a business standpoint for these three resorts, it's actually making really good business sense, and they're all doing very well. I think it's difficult for the rest of the industry, especially from the skiing standpoint and for the state of Utah, when you have that stigma hanging over you that your state doesn't like snowboarding for some reason or another.
Right.
Which isn't true. I mean, like I said, Brighton, Park City are great snowboarding mountains.
801-585-WEST, and the number to join us. This comes from Robert. He says, I telemark ski maybe 80% of the time. I'm always considerate on the snow, no matter what the craft I'm on at the moment, but I have felt the angry discrimination from skiers. I've been yelled at many times in my life on the hill, but only when I'm on a snowboard, only by a skier, and never for anything other than I happen to be on a snowboard at the moment. I feel it's a generational issue. Derek, say something about that, because you were talking about that earlier in some ways, which is not to say that skiers who want to keep Alta for only skiers are a bunch of old fuddy-duddies, but this does seem to be a kind of a – I mean, do younger skiers Did they make the same kinds of discrimination
not,
about
not that I've seen, to be honest. You know, like I said, I'm 44 and I don't know anyone younger than me that actually has these kind of mentalities. My mom does. that's a point of contention around the dinner table when she comes to visit. But I don't see, you know, if you look at, there was a video that was posted by Wasatch Equality and with people putting a petition to open up Alta to snowboarding. And if you see a bunch of the people that stopped to sign the petition that are skiers,
they're their
age. Yeah, they're 20s, 30s, yeah. You know, early 40s. So I tend to agree. It's a generalization, but I tend to agree that it's a generational issue and that, you know, to generalize, it is a bunch of old fuddy-duddies that are afraid of changing a place that's very special to them and, you know, rightfully so.
I think that comes up a lot is that Alta is different. It's a Utah institution, which is not to say that the other resorts aren't, but for some reason people talk about it in these sort of reverent tones that Alta is just different. And it seems like that's a big part of this, that it's Alta.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's different because it's one of the first ski areas in the country. It was founded in the 30s. But, you know, to that regard, so was Snow Basin. You know, there's a lot of ski history here. And, you know, I think to backtrack a little bit, like, I don't want to tell these people that they can't have this opinion that they have and that or that it's outdated or whatever, because a lot of these people were skiing snowbird before there were lifts there. A lot of these people have a lot more history at that hill than I do. And I understand why they're protective over it, and I understand why they want to keep it the way that it is. I just don't agree that allowing snowboarding would change what makes Alta so special. I think there's a vibe there that makes it special. I think the people there, the people that work there day in and day out, the people that ski there day in and day out that don't necessarily have anti-snowboarding attitudes are very open, very cool people, and it's why I love going there.
Josh, this occurred to me. I wonder if – do you think there would be snowboarders who would like a snowboarder-only resort, like not to have to deal with skiers? Does it work in the reverse?
Yes and no. Like, we've had that discussion among friends and people in the industry. Like, wouldn't that be great? And I don't think it would be. Like, I love riding with friends to ski. Like Derek said earlier, we see the mountain differently. We can attack it differently, and we can ride together and challenge each other in different aspects. I don't think it'd be all that fun to be just with snowboarders. I like the diversity that the mountain gives. I mean, there's more snowboarders at Brighton Ski Resort because of the train park. But as soon as you go out of the train park, you start hiking peaks. There's skiers on top of them. There's snowboarders on top of them. And we all have a good time up there.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. 801-585-WEST. Again, the number. Robert with us in Salt Lake City. Robert, hi.
Yeah, hi, Doug. Hey, thanks for your time and great program this morning. You know, I think we need balance. And I think there's balance in nature, balance on the globe. I think as a skier, I would like to see a few more places in Utah where we could ski without snowboarders. The snowboarders have many places to board, and there are only two places without boarding in Utah, but there are many places to ski, so I think we need some balance. And as a skier, I'd like to see more places in Utah without snowboarders.
Why? Robert?
Very, very comfortable skiing, and I think a lot of your guests have explained those reasons, and I certainly don't want to reiterate that, but I think we need balance.
Yeah. What about that balance? Like, it's only one. It's only two.
It's only two, but there, like, as you just brought up, there are none that are snowboard only, which, you know, frankly, one of the things that I like about Alta being skier only is that a lot of my snowboard friends have gotten skis back on for the first time in a long time to visit and ride with me. And, you know, it's fun schooling them sometimes because they haven't been doing the sport for 10 years. And in that regard, if there were a snowboard only resort, I would probably snowboard more. But I think in this day and age, I just think it's kind of silly to draw the line between the two. I don't think it does any of us any favors. I think it's putting, you know, people like Josh and I against each other when we're really, in every other aspect of our lives, we're friends and we do the same things. We listen to the same music, go to the same places, live in the same area for the same reasons. So I think to draw a line between the two in this day and age in 2014, when snowboarding has been a viable industry for 40 years or so, it's just kind of, frankly, it's just kind of silly.
Here's an email from Paul who writes, the economic implications of opening up Alta to boarders is more complicated than just opening it up to an additional 30% of the market. He says, I drive further to ski Alta because there are no boarders. I doubt I'm the only one. My incentive to go to Alta will be lost if there are also boarders. Which gets us to a question we'll come back to after the break, and that is what would happen to Alta if they decided to change their mind? Derek Taylor is with us, senior correspondent for Powder Magazine. We also have Josh Sherman with us, a Salt Lake City artist and former snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah. And you can join us, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We'll take another break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West and Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are wading into that dispute between snowboarders and skiers, and we're hoping to hear from you, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Derek Taylor with us, senior correspondent for Powder Magazine, and we have Josh Sherman, who used to be the snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah, with us here in the studio. Back to the phones again. Mike is with us in Salt Lake. Mike, hi.
Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I've been living here. I actually moved to Salt Lake because of snowboarding about 18 years ago. Joined the military, moved here, loved it, so I stayed. So I've been snowboarding in the Wasatch for almost 20 years. And I just heard one of the callers, or one of the people on the show, talking about kind of perpetuating a rift between skiers and snowboarders, and I think that's such a shame that there is one.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys are saying, right? Is why make a rift where that's unnecessary? As you, I mean, I think Derek, you put it pretty well. We have such similar interests. Why make a division?
Right.
Mike, that's your point, right? Is that's what you wanted to get to? What's the why create a division here? I suppose.
Yeah, I probably have a lot of opinions on the issue all over the map, but that's one of the I think one of the crux of the issue is. Why perpetuate a rift? And I think the younger folks don't want to see that either. So,
yeah.
Like I said, people, especially in their teens and 20s, they don't want to see that either. So.
Yeah. Let me just add to that before I get the rest of you to comment. From a Facebook comment, Micah writes, he calls himself a member of the so-called Alta snowboard team. He says, I've been in Alta for 14 winters as a snowboarder. I've worked in dining rooms and listened from the shadows to all of these poor arguments over the years. What I tell guests, he says, when confronted, is poor skiing is poor skiing and punks are punks. Snowboarders as a group have grown up, he says. We're business owners. We're members of the community. We're adults now. And I agree, this is a first world problem, so we haven't taken on the crusade and participated in the lawsuit. Other than that, he says, it sure would be nice to ride with my friends and my coworkers at Alta Ski Resort. What about that idea that, look, they may have been punk rock punks in the day, but now they're 40 plus snowboarding now, and it's a different thing in some way, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think Mike has got a great point, too. There's a lot of people that live and work up at Alta that snowboard that can't ride the lifts in front of where they work, so the mentality that it's okay for you to serve me drinks, but when it comes time for you to have fun, you have to do what I do is I think it's just outdated. You want to talk about if you want to talk about punks, look at the free skiing world and look at some of the personalities we have there. And I won't name names because they're my friends, but it's there's definitely a punk rock attitude with that. There's definitely a middle finger going on with that to a lot of the authority. And that's, it's fine. I think it's actually a good thing. But to put all this on snowboarding and say, snowboarders are obnoxious I think it's just completely outdated. I think obnoxious people are obnoxious and nice people are nice. And, you take the equipment off their feet and you don't know one from the other.
It's interesting. I wonder, it seems like I'd heard, and I'm not sure if this is true, that in some ways snowboarding may actually be on the decline, at least in the sense that some are saying it might be more fun skiing now, given the technology.
Yeah, the equipment's changed. And I think skiers don't give enough credit to snowboarders or the snowboarding companies that have created the things that has reinvigorated skiing. Skiing is on the up right now, but I think that's in large part due to slopestyle in the Olympics, half pipe in the Olympics. And those were snowboard events. When snowboarding got introduced in 98 and came here in 2000, it was the hottest ticket to get during the Winter Olympics. And now almost all the resorts have terrain parks. They're full of skiers and snowboarders. The twin tip ski that came out in 95 and since been perfected with local companies is essentially the same as snowboarding now. So they compete alongside each other, and the popularity of the sport was rejuvenated because of twin tip skis and the snowboard sports they inherited, which is half pipe and slope style.
I wonder, Derek Taylor, how committed to Alta is this idea of staying with just for skiers? Because I mean, it's interesting when you hear the language. Like, I know that in the press, Alta's been talking about the fact that look, this plan, the One Wasatch Plan, the idea of connecting these seven Wasatch ski areas, as it gets refined, Alta's policy is one of those things that needs to maybe be addressed or will be addressed, which is not to say that Alta is, you know, giving us a sense that they may change. But how committed do you think they are to this idea?
You know, this is speculation on my part. I can't really speak for what Alta management believes or wants to do, but the general vibe I get at Alta from, you know, the ski patrol to the front office is that they are not anti-snowboarding. They have a clientele that they're trying to serve, their clientele that pays a lot of money to go there. Like, you know, that one person who wrote in said he drives to Alta specifically because they don't allow snowboarding. So they're kind of, you know, in this position where they're catering to a clientele. I think, honestly, I think they get sick of hearing that they're Nazis or that they're, you know, closed-minded. And I think, you know, again, purely speculation, I think they would like to allow snowboarding. I think the things like the lawsuit, I think, actually makes the resort dig their heels in. They don't want to be forced to do anything. They want to make the decisions on their own. And I think, you know, what you just said, I think when one, if one Wasatch, you know, not even one Wasatch, if a lift went up Grizzly Gulch and connected Solitude to Alta, you would suddenly see a change in the mentality, because suddenly they're a conduit from Snowbird to Brighton, and they don't want to be the jerks that cut that off. Whereas, you know, when I talked to Bob Wheaton at Deer Valley during the One Wasatch press conference, he said he doesn't see any time in the foreseeable future that Deer Valley will open up to snowboarding. So it's almost ironic that Alta is getting most of the flack for this, when it is, of the three, it's the one that's probably the most likely to change the policy. Mad River has their niche, and they're owned by a co-op, and unless the co-op changes hands, you know, over time, they're not going to change. And Deer Valley has dug their heels in, and they have their market. And, you know, so I think it's tough that the one group that actually I think would open up to snowboarding is the one that's taking the most abuse.
Josh, do you think it would ever change at Alta? Anticipate that possibility?
In 2008, I went down to Taos when they opened to snowboarding, and there was a few people with signs saying, you know, Ernie would turn over his grave. I looked it up today before the show, and they're expanding. So financially, they opened to snowboarding for financial reasons to actually keep the resort going, and now they're expanding the resort. So as a business decision, it was a really good decision. But for Alta, like Derek said, I don't think that they have anything against snowboarders, but I think their clientele base, which makes up, you know, the bread and butter, doesn't want to change. And so I don't think that they will change unless they have to. And the one Wasatch is, it might be the turnkey for it, because you can't have the seven resorts connected without Alta. And so you would still be segregating skiers, and only skiers would be coming over from Solitude, you know, to get hot toddies at Alta.
What happens if Alta changes? What would that be like? I mean, there would be some very upset people.
I think there would. I think there would also be some very so a lot of people that are fine with it. The truth is that the sun still rises and sets on Taos, still rises and sets on Park City and on Aspen, and all those people at those places had the same concerns. It's a different. You know, as Josh said, it's a different thing at Taos. They were, you know, they're a really secluded resort that really needed to attract more people, whereas Alta doesn't need to attract more people. If anything, they I think a lot of people that ski there would like to see less people.
True.
I think after a couple of years, you know, I think there would be outcry at first. And after a couple of years, I think people would just forget that that ever actually happened, the way they have at Aspen and the way they have at Park City.
Yeah, I think most people forget that snowboarding was not allowed for resorts for almost 10 years.
Yeah, this is interesting because you had pointed out 96 or 97 it was before Park City allowed
Park City opened, and now it's hosts world champion halfpipe contests and hosted the Olympics, which had snowboarding in it. And I think because there are only three, there was four, and in the media, you know, this gets drummed up a lot. Like, there's four, now there's only three. What are you going to do? But no resorts allowed snowboarding after they were first banned. And they slowly got back on board once people could ride safely on the mountain. And so snowboarding's proven itself that it can be marketable, it can be profitable, and for the most part, everyone's responsible. So I think the stigmas of snowboarding really doesn't exist when you put in context. They weren't allowed at any resort. Now they're allowed at almost every resort. And there's not a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. You know, sun rises and sets, like Derek said, and everyone goes up there for just a fun time. No one's out to get anyone else or hurt themselves. We're just going to have fun in the snow. And that's all that anyone wants to do.
It's Josh Sherman. He is a Salt Lake City artist, former snowboard ambassador for Ski Utah. Derek Taylor, senior correspondent for Powder Magazine, a former editor there. He's also a regular contributor to Grind TV. Derek and Josh, thanks very much for being with us. Radio West is a production of KUER News, technical direction from Mike Anderson. Michael Shea is our intern, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.